I do want to bring something fresh and something that is on point and something that is very timely. And as I was praying and I was asking the Lord, like, Lord, what would you like me to preach on the first Sunday of the new year? And all of a sudden in a spirit, I heard one word. And it's the term that I haven't used like in a long time. It's something that was concerning to my job. And the word is called recalibration. Recalibration. It sounds like it's a very fancy word, but it has a simple meaning. And I'll explain what it means. But but when I was praying, I was really surprised to hear that word. I haven't used it in some time. I haven't, like, you know, heard it in some time. And all of a sudden, in my spirit, I keep hearing recalibration. I will recalibrate my church in 2026. As we were praying earlier, I know God is going to do a lot of great things in 2026. And you guys remember my words, your 2026 will be nothing like 2025. I do believe that strongly, and it's not just, you know, just good encouraging word. I know something is coming, and this year you will be seeing things that you have not seen in 2025. And I know God will be doing a lot of things in like locally in this church and individually, like, and corporately. And and one of the things that was highlighted to me as well, and we spoke about it a little bit last time I was preaching, it's about restoration, your spiritual inheritance. Because last season, we've been going through things. We've been going through situations and circumstances. And sometimes, like, we feel like we lost, like, our spiritual inheritance. It's not that we... it's not that we don't have access to it. It's like we sold it out to the enemy. And now a lot of us, like actually people that I've been speaking, that I've been talking, or people calling, a lot of people, they are in the situations, they don't know how to get their inheritance back. They don't know how to return what was stolen from them. And they feel like they're stuck in this circle where they don't see any answers, when it feels like heaven is closed over them and they just don't know how to start, okay? To start fresh. So in the spirit, I've heard the word recalibrate. Lord said, I will be recalibrating my church. So what does the word recalibrate means? It means re-examine, correct, or adjust settings on the measuring instrument, sensor, or other piece of equipment. When I used to work in compounding pharmacy some time ago, and what we did, we used the scale. We used a scale and we used the weights. And we used to make this, you know, like liquid medication for people who could not swallow tablets due to complications. And we have to crush those tablets. We have to crush it in a powder. And then we have to follow recipe. And we have to measure, like, precise amount of grams of that powder to mix it up with a solution so person could, you know, take it as a liquid. And it was so important that scale was correct and the weights and everything was calibrated correctly, because if you use incorrect dose, you can overdose the person or you can underdose and patient will not see any results of the treatment. So it has to be precise, it has to be accurate, and it has to be exact amount. And what we did from time to time, we had to recalibrate our weights. We had to recalibrate our scale, so it will show correct amount, so it works accurate. And for and Lord just started showing me, and I it's honestly, I haven't even had any dreams about my job. I don't know why I started having dreams about my job, where Lord is showing, like, where we actually working with the scale, like, it's like so accurately, we're recalibrating, we are, you know, like resetting. And God was bringing my focus back, like, this is what I'm doing with my church. Because He, like, as we mentioned before, God wants to move through us so much. He wants us to be pure vessels, so pure and so clean. So when He gives us the word or the song or the prophecy, there's no mixtures. There's no, like, human mixture yet, right? Like men mixture, or there's no demonic mixture. Because a lot of times God would give a prophetic word for someone and He gives you a vision, but because us as a people, if we have not dealt with certain things, or if we are not healed, we start project our pain or our bitterness. We just add our own mixture to the word of God. And then when we release it to the person, and when we minister to the person, or when we pray for the person, we do not deliver the pure word of God. It's old with mixtures, it's soiled, and it's not pure. So this is what God, whatever God is doing, like I'm recalibrating my church. I'm resetting up to original. So I just want to make sure that because I want to move through my church like so much, and I want to move in my manifested presence. I do strongly believe that like this season, we will start seeing manifested presence of God that we haven't seen for a while maybe, or maybe there was a season you have seen and then it stopped for a long season. But God wants to manifest his presence. He wants to manifest his glory, and he will be manifesting in very spontaneous moments when you don't expect, when you don't pray about it. You are just there. You are just his pure vessel walking with him, and he can just use you anytime he wants, and he do anything he wants through you. This is why he needs to recalibrate us, return us, because you see, when we continuously walk with God, right? When we are in the ministry for a long time, for those who've been ministering and serving, I've noticed this tendency. A lot of times we can get so familiar with the presence of God. We get so familiar with our anointing. We get confident with our gifting. We just get so used to it. So we don't need to go to your prayer closet and just seek face of God. We just rely on our anointing, on our gifting, on our previous experiences or previous encounters, and we just preach out of that, and we stop digging, we stop seeking the Lord. Like, Lord, I need fresh water. I need fresh bread. I need something fresh, and we start serving out of previous seasons. Experiences or revelations, and try to add something on of our own, and we deliver this mixture to people that does not have any power, does not have any anointing, does not carry any weight in it. Aren't you tired of this? Don't you want, Lord, I want to be your pure vessel. I want to be recalibrated so I can be pure vessel, so I can reflect exactly what you're doing for me without any mixtures, no more than needed, no less than needed. Because a lot of times because we want to feel or sound so important, we start adding up things that God has not told you to do. But because you think you would look super anointed, or because somebody else does it and they, flow in certain anointing, we start copying them, thinking we're going to look like that person. And we start adding up to the words that Lord did not tell us to say, but we start because we want to be more prophetic. Maybe God told you just to release a phrase to this person and hug him and just leave. No, we start adding up more and more because we want to look so prophetic, so deep, and so anointed. We start adding up our own prophecy, and we need to stop that. We need to be pure vessels of God. Lord, if you just gave me this much, then this much I will release. If you don't give me anything at this time, I will not release anything, but I will be available, your pure vessel that reflect you so accurately without any mixtures, without any additions. Okay. So, and this is what happens when people, they get so confident in their anointing or gifting, and they stop relying on the fresh word of revelation, and they just start, they don't feel need to go to the prayer room and just seek the Lord. And what I have noticed from the previous experiences, people who used to be here or other ministries, it seems like they're still moving in anointing, like they're delivering word, but there's no connection with the Lord anymore. Long time ago, they lost it. They lost it because they were so blinded by their own gifting. And they stop relying and seeking the Lord and asking the Lord, examine their hearts, examine, their motives. And this is how people would fall. I would notice or I was observing some ministers, I was like, what happened to you? You've been like preaching such a solid word of God without any mixtures, pure word of God. And then somehow they fall in this like false theology. It's like, where did that come from? You were normal. You were just fine just a couple of years ago. What happened to you? This is what happens. the man of God or the woman of God, they did not get recalibrated by God. You know, they just went after their own anointing without seeking the Lord, without getting fresh revelation, without seeking the fresh word from Him. And this is why we saw a lot of ministries that fell, big names and smaller names. A lot of things happened like in the past few years. This is how you would ask, how could this happen? How this person that I was learning from, I was like feeding from their teachings, I was, you know, nurturing, I was growing spiritually. How could they, you know, like be exposed in this like ridiculous things that we seen? When did it happen? Okay, so this is so important, and I know Lord wants to take us as a church, as a corporately and individually, to completely new. I know we've been saying this, but I will keep saying again and again, I will not let you to forget that. Lord has so much for us, and there's been so much He has shown us and prophesied over this house, showed us in dreams, in visions, confirmed through other prophets. There's something big on a house, and I'm not boasting or being prideful. It's just the fact. We did not make it up. We did not ask for it. He just showed us, and He told us what's coming. So, and this is so important, but of course we need to remember we have an enemy who works 24/7 to abort, to kill, to destroy, and steal. He is here to kill your hunger, steal your spiritual blessing and inheritance, destroy your destiny and purpose. This is his mission 24/7. This is why it's so important this year, just get your focus back. If with last season, whatever happened last season, whatever maybe arguments you have with someone, you need to fix it, you need to address it, because you will not be able to move on. This is will be your ceiling. Where you at, this is will be your ceiling, okay? I just like, I know maybe you were expecting maybe something deeper, like revelation, but I just feel this urgency in the spirit. I just cannot go past it, and I just need to release it. So maybe you will not hear something deep, deep, deep today, but I will keep saying until I let it out of my body, out of my system, okay? Because I really feel this urgency, and we need to get recalibrated by Holy Spirit. Okay. So we will cover a few aspects today. So, and during this word, just ask Holy Spirit, what aspect, maybe you will see yourself somewhere, like where, what do you have to address today? So maybe this word will not be for everyone, but for those people where you feel stuck, it's like, you are in this transition time. You feel like you exhausted everything from the previous season, and you are ready to move to the next level of glory, next level of His, strength from power, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. But you feel like you stuck in this transition season and you cannot move forward. Like something is blocking you. Something is not letting you. Something is just like hanging over you. So, I do believe Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. What is it? You will address it. You will break through it. And I believe Lord will take you further. Okay. And the first thing that I do want to address, and this is where I've seen people losing their battles. People are coming back to old addictions, sins that they got delivered from. It's neglecting prayer. I know we've been saying this and again and again, and I know some people that I speak to, they try to find like, you know, shortcuts, like other ways, but what can I do? Is there any formula? Maybe there's a prayer I can say, or maybe somebody can pray for me and break something over me, and then I'll be able to break. No, you will not be able to break through that until you go back to your like one-on-one time with Jesus. Look, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, Jesus says, when disciples ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, pray in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it in heaven. And then he says, give us this day our daily bread. And this is where I want to stop for a moment, because I know in the, if somebody has a religious past, daily bread was all about your actually physical food that we eat. And they think that we have to, every day we have to get up and ask our Heavenly Father to send us our food, make sure we don't go hungry, okay? But in Matthew 6, chapter 25, Jesus also says, this is why I tell you to never be worried about your life, for all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything that your body needs. And you may ask, Jesus, you are contradicting yourself. Here you're saying, like, give us our daily bread. And then you say, like, don't worry about it, you know, because your life is more than food or drink. So do we pray about it or we do not pray about it? Okay. But then in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Come every day to me and you will never be hungry. Believe in me and you will never be thirsty. So Jesus, in this prayer, Jesus was pointing to himself when he said, give us daily bread. He was pointing to himself. It's a necessity. It's daily, not weekly, not monthly, not like annually. Daily, you have to come and eat daily. This is where you place of victory. If you don't eat daily bread, if you don't eat Jesus every day, you spiritually starve yourself. You don't get nutrients that make your spiritual man strong. Have you seen people with eating disorders? Have you seen people who suffer anorexic people? Have you seen how they are not even able to stand on their feet? They cannot live their like normal lives. Their immune system is so weak, it cannot fight any diseases. And a lot of times these people, they need medical help. But guess what? If you don't eat your daily bread spiritually, you are becoming like that. You are anorexic in a spirit. You're not a threat to demonic world. Devil, the enemy, he can come into your life and he can take whatever he wants from your life. And you can quote the scripture, you can quote verses. It's not gonna work because you don't have strength to resist him. You don't have strength to protect your spiritual blessing, okay? This is why Jesus said it's so important. So if last year, if you were not serious about it, or if you did not have consistency, like let it be your New Year resolution, starting Monday, starting today, I will not go to sleep until I eat Jesus, until I eat my heavenly bread, okay? We just need to understand that prayer is... And again, remind and again that prayer is not about feelings. The devil will lie to you. He's like, you are not feeling, you don't have desire to pray today. So if you go pray, that will be like, you will be a hypocrite because you will not pray sincerely because you don't have these feelings of love for God. This is the lie that he's going to put in your head. We need to remember, we don't rely on our feelings. Our spirit is always hungry. Our spirit is always starving. We don't pray to feed our flesh or our soul. We pray to feed our spirit. And when our spirit is fed, when our spirit gets all the nutrients from heaven it needs, oh, believe me, your flesh will listen to you. Your desires will listen to the spirit. You will start finding you don't have those dirty desires anymore or like unclean thoughts. So from today, like from tomorrow, I don't care if I feel it or not, I will pray. You don't know what to pray about? Pray in tongues. 30 minutes, just pray in tongues. You are bored, you don't want to pray in tongues, or after prayed in tongues, what's next? Turn on the Friday prayer. Okay, just like our live stream, Friday prayer. Start praying with people on a stage. And the prayer will come to you, and you will see how your spirit, how your soul will be awakening, and that hunger will start coming back. The hunger, the love for God will start coming back if you start cultivating, if you just don't give up and you become consistent to it. Okay? I will guarantee you, most of the time, your flesh will not want to pray. It will not. Okay, it will do everything to pull you away from prayer, to pull you away from your private time with God. So get ready and just don't fall into this, when a devil is trying to trick you. Don't fall into this trick, okay? All right. So, I do believe also this season God is releasing and entrusting keys to his sons and daughters and those who agree to go through the process of correction and pruning, whose spirit will be teaching you how to unlock and access certain realms. One of the prayers that we had with our intercession team, and I already shared during the prayer, Friday prayer, but I want to mention again, that was very interesting vision where I started seeing people praying in their, you know, private rooms, just one-on-one, in their private times, and I would see how, when they pray, and after some time, they start feeling the frequency of heaven. They just getting on the same like frequency with the heaven, and Holy Spirit would put words into their mouth, things they just need to be prayed at this moment or released at this moment. And those words, they were just like little keys that would unlock certain realms in that person's life. It could be realm of prophecy. It could be realm of the healing gift. It would be like different gifting, different realms, because Jesus said, my father's house has a lot of dwelling places. So I saw how people would have, just through the prayer, nobody was laying hands on them, nobody was imparting anything on them. It's just in their private time with Holy Spirit unlocking. So I do see there's going to be a lot of unlocking happening in this new season, into this new year, for those who said yes to Jesus, who said yes and being consistent about spending time with him and just drink from him and eating him daily. This will be your reward. He will be entrusting and giving you those keys to unlock. Maybe there's a certain breakthrough. There is restoration of things. You will be given keys. You will be getting answers to those things that you have not, you haven't before. Okay. So I just want to cover a few aspects. So if you want to progress with God and you feel like you are stuck and you don't know where to start, so we covered coming back to prayer. Just make it your, like this year, like I will not be careless about this topic. I will come back to my consistent prayer time with Jesus. But then another thing. So let's read James, letter of James, chapter 4, verse 7. So we're going to cover these topics. I love the Word of God because it always gives you answers. It always gives you keys, where to start from, what to do, and what to address. It says, "So then surrender to God, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will flee in agony." Okay, so we just covered it a little bit. So step number one, you have to surrender yourself to God. You cannot be victorious without surrendering. You cannot protect your inheritance without surrendering to God. And then in verse 8, he says, "Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will even come closer to you." So you make the first step. You don't wait until special feeling or special heaven move or special, I don't know, trumpet sound or anything else or any other signs. You make your first move. Move your heart closer and closer, and he will come even closer to you. He will make it back. So if you have been in a dry season and if you have not felt him, keep digging. Keep making those stepped towards him. Do not give up, even if you don't feel like anything is changing in your life. You need to be faithful, okay? You have to push through your boredom. A lot of times you will go to, you will start pray and you feel bored. Your thoughts are gonna be all over the place. And you know, I love how Corey Russell says, he says, like when people say like, oh, God is, it's boring, you know, it's boring to pray, God is boring. Like, no, you are boring actually. You are boring. And once you get through the boredom, once you get through that, you will see what you will experience in His presence, what He will reveal to you, what He will uncover to you, and places He will take you in His spirit. You will be surprised. And it's always going to be fresh, it's always going to be new, and it's always going to be mind-blowing. There is no other way with Jesus. He always blows our mind whenever He shows up, whenever He encounters, whenever He speaks to us, okay? So, key number two. In James 4, chapter 4, verse 8, it's the same verse. He says, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Okay, so key number two, it's so important to have a pure heart, because compromise and double blind mindedness is what gives enemy the advantage of you, because compromise keeps you paralyzed, okay, and fruitless. This is how you lose, this is how you cannot be fruitful. I know, I'm pretty sure, I don't know a Christian who gave their lives to Jesus and they're just like, you know, okay, well maybe in religion, I know, because they don't know anything better. They just, you know, they don't even know if they're saved most of the time. But I'm talking about people who experienced the living God, who had the real encounter with God. I don't believe you just satisfied just to come to church on Sundays, to prayers, and, you know, just like live your normal life and never discovering who you are, what He has for you, what is your destiny, what is your identity in Him, where, like how far you can go in Him. I'm sure every single one of us dreaming like, Lord, I'm your vessel. I want you to move through me. I want to experience what it feels like when you actually taking over my lips, when you start ministering to somebody through me, when I start speaking to demons and they obey, when I start praying and heaven moves on my behalf. I'm sure, who wants to experience that? Like if you pray, if you say, your words have life, your words have weight, you know, you see result of what you're praying. We all want to do that. But guess what? Compromise paralyzes you and aborts your fruit in God. So I know a lot of time, a lot of people, they have to address that in their lives. You have to make sure. You have to surround yourself with boundaries. Make covenant with your eyes and with your lips and with your ears. It's so important. I remember one time, years back, with my friend, I went to movie theater. And, you know, and then towards the middle of the movie, content got so ugly and just so inappropriate. We had to get up and we had to leave in the middle of the movie, because we're feeling like our Holy Spirit was grieved inside of us, and we're just like, no, we cannot handle this anymore. We have to. And you know, this is why you have to protect the presence of God. You have to protect this dwelling spirit inside of you. Do not grieve Holy Spirit. Because when you start grieving Holy Spirit with unholy walk, with unholy desires, with unholy, like what you listen to, it grieves Him and it aborts every fruit that God wants to produce through you, okay? So drink from living water. Let His word wash your heart, wash your thoughts. That's what happens, because you will not feel it physically or emotionally. When you read it, sometimes, okay, I read the word, but I don't really notice anything happening in me. Believe me, you will see result of that when you live your daily life, when you walk your daily life. You will see how your thoughts will start changing. Your desires will be changing. Your perception of God will be changing. How you will start seeing things that you have not seen before. How will you start hearing things that you have not heard before? Because remember what Jesus said on His in His word. He says, "The pure heart; those who have pure hearts, they will what? they will see God. This is one of your promises. This is one of your inheritance. You will see God. You will see Him and recognize Him and discern Him when other people don't see Him and don't feel Him and then don't know that He is there. But you will be given ability to see, to know, to discern, and to experience Him. So this is so important. Get rid of compromise. Get rid of double life. Key number three, it's also in James chapter 4, verse 9, same chapter. Very important. And I know in charismatic Christianity, we overlook it because we think it's not important anymore. Confess and repent. I love what Danny said when he was praying. You can never graduate from repentance. No matter how seasoned Christian, no matter how, you know, anointed minister you are, we never graduate from repentance. And this is the one of the keys. And in verse 9, it does say, feel the pain of your sin. Be sorrowful and weep. Let your joking around be turned into mourning and your joy into deep humiliation. So he talks about confess and repentance of the heart. I know we are covered by the blood of Jesus, and I know blood of Jesus has done it all. It washed us away. But you know that a lot of Christians, they are so careless because of the mercy of God, because of His love and His patience and His grace for us. People live in sin and they think it's okay, and they think there's no consequences. They're like, oh, blood of Jesus, like I gave my life to Jesus, I confess Him as my Lord, so all my sins are covered. I will go here, I will do that, and you know what, all my sins are covered automatically. Hey, I want to bring you news. No, they're not. And I do want to read this word from the scripture where it confirms that. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 27. It says, dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received the knowledge, okay? If you continue sinning after you receive the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. Okay, there is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume the enemies. So if you confess with your lips just Jesus is your Lord, but you live like His enemy, the blood of Jesus will not have, you know, it will not cover you. I know, because like Lord, thank you for your mercy, thank you for your grace, and thank you for the timing you give your people to repent. But a lot of people, they're so careless about it. They think, you know, this is how it's going to be all the time, but it's not. I know there is expiration to everything, okay? And God's grace can expire on you, but after God will give you so many chances. So I don't know who needs to hear it, but please repent and confess. Because do you remember when Jesus spoke to this woman who was about to get stoned, that prostitute that was about to be stoned by Pharisees? Do you remember what He told her? Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. So when we speak about repentance, it's not like, oh, I sinned, like, you know, I intentionally do something that I'm not supposed to do. I just repent and I can go and do this again next day, and they will ask for forgiveness, and everything is going to be forgiven. It's like we abuse, I feel like we are mocking the blood of Jesus. This is not what the blood of Jesus was given us for. I do understand we as people, yes, we do sin in our daily lives. We do slip up. This is why we have the blood of Jesus. This is what we plead blood of Jesus over us. But it does not cover your intentional sin. You know, it's so sad. It just became so normal in church this day. Divorces are normal. You know, spouses cheating on each other. It's like so, it's became so normalized. And people don't feel any guilt, no shame, no remorse about it. Pornography is normal. Like in church, I was shocked. Like sometimes you start hearing things that you don't want to hear and finding out information that you don't want to find out. I'm talking about corporate church. I'm not talking about this church. But, you know, we have a big, you know, Slavic community, and, you know, And sometimes stuff comes to you. And I was like, Lord, how is your grace? You're so merciful. You're so graceful. There's things that years after years people live in intentionally, and they don't want to repent. They don't want to get out of it. Okay? But this is how you know that you are a true child of God, the true daughter and son of God. Even if you slip up, even if you see something that you're not supposed to see or do something that you're not supposed to do, how do you feel after that? Do you enjoy that sin? Do you have like this short pleasure in that? Or do you feel nasty and dirty after that? I was like, no, you feel like this is not my nature. It's disgusting to me. Like, Lord, please forgive me. Like, I plead the blood of Jesus over my thoughts, over my actions. This is what the true child of God does. We feel this is not our nature. So it is so important, repentance and confession. And I still do till this day. Yes, I live a new covenant. Yes, you know, blood of Jesus done it all. But I still to confess, like, Lord, I slipped out today. I slipped today. I did this. I said something I'm not supposed to say, Lord. Please forgive me. I repent. I confess it. And I plead the blood of Jesus. And then I feel, and then I know right away in my spirit that enemy just lost access in this area. That door got sealed up. That door is not accessible for him anymore to come and torment my life or to steal things in my life. So maybe just ask Holy Spirit, is there any areas of my life that have not been confessed, not been repented, and you feel like you're robbed all the time? You feel like constantly abused, you know, by demonic spirit all the time. Where is the open door? Where something you have not confessed yet and repented and did not seal up with the blood of Jesus? So this is so important. Why I'm just keep repeating these things. I know we're entering the new year. We need to start fresh. We need to leave all this burden behind. We need to start pure. Confess, resolve, you know, just let go. Ask for forgiveness if you have to, if that's something you have to do. Individually and corporately. God, I know there are some individuals, I know we are like, we're ready, you know, we're sold out to Jesus and we always examine our hearts and we are ready. But God does not want to take just certain individuals into the next level of His glory. He wants to take us corporately. And He is a good father. He does not want to lose any of His children. He will wait and He will give extra time, you know, for that person to catch up, to get rid. He will give, but again, there is a limit on the time, okay? It's not eternal. So there is a time frame. So just address whatever has to be addressed. Allow Holy Spirit to recalibrate you. Okay, key number four. I'm not going to keep you for too long. Key number four, it's also in the same chapter, the letter of James, he's giving us all these keys. Verse 10, it's humility. He says in this verse, be willing to be made low before the Lord and He will exalt you. Okay, so humility is another key for promotion and advancement. Do you want to get advanced in the kingdom of God? Do you want to get promoted by God, not by person? Because a lot of people, we just rely on our leaders, on our pastors to promote us. It's like they are our source. They are our door. Yes, God can use them to open certain doors for you, but He is the one who promoting. He is the one who actually noticing you. He is the one, when your heart is right, when time is right, He will promote you, okay? He will place you in a certain position. I remember years back, now I'm just remembering, it's like, it's so funny to me. It's like, but at that time, it was a real battle for me. Right now, it's just like, when you progress in God, whatever used to be huge, you know, warfare and battle for you, now it's just like a kindergarten, you know? And I remember that time, it was just like, Transformation Center just started existing, just started going. And there was a time in the beginning, a lot of new people start coming. And I remember we just started doing this, you know, our prayers like we do on Fridays, but at that time I think it was Thursdays. So somebody comes with a microphone and prays in the microphone on a stage, you know, it was something new. And we felt like it's so important. We never held microphone in our lives before. And then finally pastors are letting people on a stage and giving microphones so you can pray and you can release stuff. And I remember like back in the day, Sveta will be laughing probably. We start new people coming, very potential, gifted people coming. And then, and they really, they had anointing on them. And pastor was like, okay, get on a stage. You're going to pray with us. And I remember I'm just sitting there. I was like, okay, I've been here since the beginning. I was paying the price. I was here when nobody's here. And they have not even noticed me. They have not invited me. They just completely ignored me. And these all new people who have not paid the price, who had not do those fasts that we did, and they just come on a stage. And like I said, like right now, it's just so funny to me. But at that time, my growth level with God, it's like, and God started addressing things in me. And then he really started, he started showing me things in my heart. Holy Spirit started asking me these real questions. Why are you here? Are you here because of me? Or you just need the microphone and you just need to show yourself like what you have? Why are you here? And I'm just so thankful at that time. And it's just like supernaturally, you just get unnoticed. It's like somebody just like you get ignored. You got in the shadow. People be promoting left and right. And here you are. You're just like completely like forgotten at that time. I know God did it on purpose because he needed to expose things in my heart that was not right. The pride, the self-promotion, something that you want to gain for yourself. And then I was like, you know what, like, Lord, and I said, like, Lord, forgive me. This is like, remove this darkness from my heart. I'm not here to be on a stage. I'm not here to, you know, because of Mike. I'm here to pray, to worship you, to build your kingdom. I don't care what I do in church. I don't care what position I have, but I'll just do it for you because I love you. And it's like for some time, you know, I just let it go. I forgot. And I remember as soon as I let it go, it just joy came back to my life. The presence of God came in my life. Even though I still didn't get called out, I was still like unnoticed and I was somewhere, I don't know, I don't remember, like in the back or somewhere in the crowd. But I just did not care anymore. I would come and I would not see anything but just him. And after I addressed that issue in my heart, after I dealt with that, and then doors got open, like, hey, do you want to pray with us next Thursday? Like what? At that time, I did not even want to do that. I was just so fine where I was and what I was doing. But, and Lord was teaching me how to be humble, how to walk in humility. Because, you know, we all can be so spiritual and humble in our walk until somebody next to you gets promoted. Until somebody next to you gets recognized for something, you do the same thing. You maybe served even more than one person, but no, they get promoted. They're given position. They're being acknowledged. They're like, people are grateful to them. And you just like, don't even exist. Do you know how many people I've seen breaking, like the allowed offense in their heart? They allowed this bitterness in their heart. And they just left their destinies. They aborted their destinies just because of that. They did not want to deal with this, you know, with this darkness in their heart. So this is where we need to go back. We need to start. If somebody gets promoted next to you, you know, just, you know what? Be happy for them. Because if you have the right posture, your time will come. And you will be in the right place, in the right time where you're supposed to be. You will not miss your time. They will come to you. They will find you. They will pick you out, and they will appoint you to do what you need to do for the kingdom of God. Okay. So let's talk about humility. If you want to get promoted, if you want to get advanced, you will not be able to pass by humility and being humble. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 through 28. Jesus said, "The greatest one among you will live as the one who is called to serve others, because the greatest honor and authority is reserved for the one with the heart of servant. For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served, but to serve and give his life in exchange for the salvation of many. Okay, so we are called to be servants, not leaders, not pastors. I mean, those, yes, those are secondary and Jesus will appoint you, but your first ministry starts with serving. Your first function is serving. Okay, and start doing this today. You can ask, how can I start serve? What do I start from? I'll give you some pointers, okay? Instead of seeking and waiting for attention, start giving attention to others. Do you know how many people I've heard, like, I came to church today. Nobody said hi to me. Nobody talked to me. Nobody asked me how I was doing. Find a person and ask them how they are doing. Start, you know, stop expecting. This is small act, but this is act of serving. When you start caring about somebody, when you start seeing beyond your ego, beyond yourself. Instead of asking someone to pray for you, find someone who needs a prayer and offer a prayer for them. And you don't have to be on a ministry team to do that. There's a lot of people in cafeteria, in the lobby, and people will come with all kind of issues. Sometimes they open up hard and then, you know, share things with you. And even though you are going through hell, maybe yourself, you know what? Sometimes we're so occupied and so focused on what we are going through that we need healing. We need a prayer. You know what? Put yourself on the altar and just pray for somebody. Just offer a prayer for them. Start serving. Maybe give them the word of encouragement. You will see how things start turning around for you. You will start feeling needed. You will, and God will start using you in the way that you are not even imagining. You don't have to wait until you get microphone and position. My all-time favorite is Stephen. Do you remember Stephen from New Testament? He had such humble position. He was giving out food to widows and orphans. But then people knew him outside of the church. People knew him. He was the one through whom people got resurrected and healed, and great miracles were happening through him. And he didn't have to do anything with his position in church. Do you think God cannot do the same thing with you? He can use you anywhere, in the lobby, in cafeteria, outside of this building. So, but you just need to take focus of yourself sometimes. Sometimes we're just so much preoccupied with ourselves. We don't want to see anything else. Start serving. Instead of expecting others to bless you or encourage you, start blessing others. Okay, maybe ask about if somebody has a need in a church. We have so many people who have needs, financial need, any other needs. Do you have a problem? Okay, let's have a group of friends. You know, we'll bless you. We'll just pitch in whatever we can. But we'll just want to bless you with this money. So maybe, you know, we just need to start actually, you know, we just need to start coming out of our boxes about our needs. This is like small acts, but this is your first step how you can serve people. Okay? Instead of complaining to your leader and finding imperfections, start offering solution and help to improve struggling areas. Do you know how many times we've seen in the ministry, people will just come and complain. This is not right. This is done wrong. This is not, but they will not offer you solution. Just bring the solution. How can I, yes, we have a problem. How can I help? What can I do to help to fix this problem? This is how you become, and there's so many more examples. It just, you know, it's just like few that just came to my head. Start serving. And you will see how God will be promoting you. He will be entrusting you more and more. I've seen, like, even in this church, we have people with a servant's heart. And I don't even know the names. I know just when I say this, like, servant heart, you already have, like, people's names popping up in your head. And a lot of these people, whose names popping up, they don't even have positions. You don't see them on a stage with a microphone, but the whole church knows that person. The whole church knows if I have a problem, I can run to that person. And this person has weights in their words. People respect them, people love them, and they see God on these people. This is what God highlights, those people with servant heart. Okay? And in conclusion, I don't want to hold you for too long, but in conclusion, I want to say, just to sum up our word today, recalibration, the heavenly recalibration. So I do believe this is what God is doing. He recalibrating us, resetting up us to our original design, to bring His pure word, to be His pure vessels without any mixture. And this is like, this is what David did. This is what he prayed. Psalm 139, he prayed, "Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me out and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked and hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So this is, should be your prayer. Like, Lord, search me out today. Examine my heart. What is stopping me? What is blocking me from progressing? Do I carry offense in my heart? Unforgiveness? Am I being like rude to someone? Like, just ask, He will show you and deal with that. Do not get offended. Do not get bitter. Do not feel rejected when things happen. Holy Spirit will move in very unique ways, and He always works through unique situations. So, and just go, so four aspects. To conclude, eating your, very important, eating your daily heavenly bread and drinking from the living water. This is your key number one. Key number two, walk in purity. Three, confess and repent. It's so important every day. Confess and repent. Plead the blood of Jesus. And four, walk as a servant. Become a true servant. And you will see how your life starts changing. You will start see things turning around. You will see how you will start getting into breakthroughs that you prayed before and you haven't seen. And you will see how heaven will start moving in your life. Let's raise up. I just want to pray with you. I just want to bless you. And I just want to release this prayer for this new year. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the things that you have showed us, for the words and promises that you have released to us, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your plan. You have perfect plan for us, and you're taking us your perfect way, Lord. You are the perfect way. We thank you, Jesus. Recalibrate us. Recalibrate us, Holy Spirit. Examine our hearts, because we don't want to stay on the side of your purpose. We don't want to be spectators, but we want to be partakers of your move. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to show and to address the issues that we have to deal with, that we have to leave behind, so we can start fresh, so we can advance in the kingdom of God, so we can get promoted by you. We're not seeking promotion from people. You are the one, Holy Spirit. You are the one who opens doors, and you are the one who closes doors. So I pray for this year, Lord, for every single one. Close doors that are not from you. Break the plans that are not from you. And open your doors. I'm just asking, bring your connections, divine appointments, and divine connections. Divine blueprints. Release, Holy Spirit. You have so much for us. You have so much. We thank you for this new year. We thank you, Lord, that we're here in your presence, seeking your face, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for pulling us to you. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. We thank you for your blood that is washing us, that is cleansing us every day. We love you, Jesus. We love your presence. And we make covenant with you, Lord. We will not ignore your call to prayer, to read the word. We make a covenant with you this year to be consistent, to spend time with you and in the word, to drink from you and to eat you daily, Jesus. You are our true food, Lord. We eat from you today. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. we see the huge progress where we used to be a few years ago and where we are today, Lord. And I know there's more coming. There is more coming. There is more coming. Lord, we receive every spiritual blessing. Just receive it for your family. Receive it for your life. Just say, I receive every spiritual blessing. I receive my spiritual inheritance. I will not allow enemy to rob myself, to steal from me by compromises, by double living. Right now, I'm closing all the doors that need to be closed. I'm stopping everything that needs to be stopped. Every sin, any immorality, any impurity, I'm rebuking right now, and I plead blood of Jesus over my life, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are your pure vessels. We want you, Lord, to flow through us, to overflow. Because this is not just for us, but it's for those who need healing. It's for those who need to encounter you. Overflow through us. Overflow through us, Father. Overflow with your presence. Overflow through us. We are your pure vessels. Thank you, Jesus. We pray that the fear of the Lord will be returned to your church. The fear of the Lord. The trembling fear of the Lord. Return into church. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We're entering, it's not just a season. I know we're entering the new era where we'll see Spirit break out like never before. We will see harvest that we have never seen before. We know it already happened in the Spirit. We already seen it. We already sense it. It's coming. We know it's there, Lord. It's just a matter of time. It will manifest in natural. It will manifest in physical. But you are preparing your vessels. You are recalibrating your vessels so we could reflect your glory, reflect your image, reflect you, Jesus, through everything we do, through everything we say. We reflect you, Jesus, with no mixture. No mixture, no more and no less. Only what goes along with your way. Only what resonates with you, Jesus. Nothing outside of you. We refuse of anything that is outside of you. And we submit ourselves to you. We cannot do anything. We cannot do anything without you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you're so good. And we worship you. And we love you. And we embrace this new year, the year of new victories, the year of new blessings, the year of new breakthroughs, the year of restoration. We release it into this new year, Lord. The year of reconciliation. We just release reconciliations in broken relationships. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everything that was stolen from us will be returned seven times greater. Seven times greater. Where we were robbed off by the enemy, we say seven times greater. Thank you, Jesus. He's so good. Just give him glory. Give him thanks. He is so good. Oh, I can already, this year will be very special. This year will be different. And you know, that's something that we will doing with our group. I do also encourage you, when you go home, when you go to your prayer time, just do this experiment. Just go to your prayer and just ask Holy Spirit to show you things that He wants to do for you or for your family or maybe corporately. Ask Him to show you. Give Him the blueprints of what He will be doing. Write it down and put it on a shelf somewhere. And by the end of the year, on December 31st, open up your box, read what you have wrote, and see what, you know, what already came to pass. I'm sure Holy Spirit will give you heavenly blueprints and designs. So God bless you. Bless your families. We'll see you on Friday. We'll have prayer on Friday at 8 o'clock. Blessings.